Beloved, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
In this gospel today, we hear of the young man who comes to Jesus. And this is not like other times when people came to ask Jesus a question. For we will hear the evangelist say, sometimes when it's one of the scribes or the lawyers or the Pharisees, that they came to put Jesus to the test. They were asking a trick question. They wanted to trip Jesus up in his words. And every time he confounded them, and they went away unable to answer, confused, still not willing to see that this person whom they question is the Son of God who visited Moses, whom Abraham saw, who commanded Noah to build the ark. But today, this young man comes in all earnestness, someone who was following the law of Moses, who was seeking out salvation. And he begins by asking Jesus, "Good Master." And Jesus immediately says, "Only God is good." Because he's not sure the young man is only calling Jesus good in the human sense. Jesus is making reference to the fact that only God is good, and Jesus is God. And then he asks what commandments he must keep in order to find eternal life. And Jesus tells him the things he must do. And he says, "I've done all these my whole life." He knows there's something missing. And then Jesus tells him, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And that's where the break happens. The man who was looking for salvation, looking to follow Jesus, now he's sad because he has many possessions. He's tied to this earth, to creation. That he wants to follow God, but he wants to own so much. He wants to accumulate more and more. And Jesus is showing him, we can't have it both ways. As he says elsewhere, we cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve our possessions and seek to acquire more and more things and at the same time serve God. And in hearing also Jesus' words telling the man to keep the commandments, do not lie, do not cheat, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder. It seems the man was living the commandments in a way that he expected something for living them, like a transaction. I fulfill these commandments, I get heaven. How different is that than going to the store and getting a loaf of bread and laying down a couple of dollars for it? Our life in Christ is not one of transaction, beloved. Because the commandments, even when Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you," they are not a checklist for us to observe, thinking that we get something by observing them. Rather, the way to look at them is to see that this is God's revelation of himself. He's revealing to us his life in the commandments. For God does not lie. God does not cheat. God does not steal, commit murder, commit adultery. And God himself lays down his life for us. Christ on the cross for us. So when Jesus is speaking of the commandments, he's speaking of his own life, how he lives. And he's calling us to live his life, to live in him. What matters for us is to live in Christ, so that we do not lie, do not cheat, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder. Not because of the commandment, but because Christ himself, by how he spoke, by how he lived, by how he died and rose from the dead, Christ himself is our eternal model for these things. His own life is the model for our life. And as he says elsewhere, he comes not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, because he does at the same time fulfill and abolish it. He fulfills every aspect of it. But we live in his life, following him, seeing him as the eternal model, not looking at the commandments as a checklist of things to do. Because you know, beloved, there are people who don't believe in God who can come up with ethics for how to live a human life apart from God. Christ didn't come to make us ethical humans, to be good people. He came to take us into himself, into his life, to unite us to himself, that he lives in us. That is why Christ came, to live in us. And if he lives in us, and we model our life after his, then indeed, we will not lie or cheat or steal or commit adultery or murder. Not because we're following a checklist, but because we're following Christ, because we're looking at his face, at his life, seeking to live in his manner of living. Because this is where this life of ours here on this earth is supposed to be leading. That we have Christ so living in us that when we take our last breath, we pass over from this life into the heavenly kingdom, where are all those who have already lived his life here on earth, the ones we call saints, because people could look at them and see in them something special. They were seeing God at work in them. And beloved, that's how we're to be also. If we live in this way, then the light of our face, radiating with the love of Christ and with his joy, will draw people to us, will draw people to Christ. Because it's not, again, not a set of rules that's bringing anyone to salvation. It is Christ and him living in us, that we so live in him that others see his light in us, and they are attracted to that. They want to know, what do you have? Why do you have this joy, this love? What is it that enlivens you, that gives you spirit? It is Christ. He is the only one that, as a light, as a flame, will draw others. And we must have him in us, living in him, and he in us, so that we and many around us may be saved.